Well, it's been quite a week on Cape Cod, hasn't it? Last weekend, we were enduring the hottest, most humid days of the year. That was followed by rain, an incredible night of lightning, and then two tornadoes knocking out power for thousands of people and downing countless trees. It was a week that provided ample opportunities to practice patience. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Let me say that again, just in case it was unpleasant for you to hear. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Joyce Meyer noted, patience is not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. So how'd you do this past week? We were fortunate, personally. We were only without power for about 5.5 hours, and Jill and Greg and I drove over to Orleans to get some lunch that afternoon, and then I took one of our cars to get its state inspection done, and as I was standing outside the gas station there in Orleans waiting for my turn, I was watching this flock of sparrows that was going around and watching the cars go by and wondering how long would we be without power and who should we be checking on who might need assistance. And so all that was going through my mind, and there was a radio, they had music playing in the gas station, and the third song that came on while I was standing there was a song by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Anyone want to guess what it was? The Waiting. That's exactly right, which includes the lyrics, every day you get one more yard. You take it on faith, you take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part. And then it has that great refrain for anyone who's ever been impatient. Don't let it kill you, baby. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it kill you, baby. Don't let it get to you. And I'm standing outside the gas station. I start laughing. And the guy who was sitting there is like, what's so funny? And I told him who I was, and I said, this is definitely the week for me to be preaching about patience. Listen to what Paul has to say about patience in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is God's word for us for this morning. We are going to start with a little interactive exercise today. And so I'm going to ask you, you're going to turn to someone sitting near you. If you don't have someone right next to you or right behind you, the closest person may be behind you, just like an exit on an airplane. But I want you to turn to somebody, and I'm going to tell you when 1 minute's up. You have 1 minute each. If there's three of you, well, be mindful of the time. The two things I want you to ask, you want each of you to share, name a situation in which you find it difficult to be patient, okay? You're gonna name a situation in which you find it difficult to be patient, and why? Why is it hard for you to be patient in those situations, okay? So name a situation in which you find it hard to be patient, and why is it difficult, okay? Turn to someone, I'll tell you when 60 seconds is up, and then when it's 2 minutes and you're done. So join right in. If you need to go three, go three. That's 60 seconds. That's 60 seconds. You have one more minute. Thirty seconds left. All right. You guys are so good. Boom, 2 minutes. Anyone willing to share any of your responses? You want to keep it to yourselves? I'm guessing even if we were in a smaller group, it would be easier to do this. And if you're in a small group that's meeting in the summer, this is a great exercise. But I'm guessing there would be things. I'm sure someone said traffic, driving. Anybody? Anyone? Yeah. Bueller, anyone? Yeah. In an article titled, Four Reasons to Cultivate Patience, Kieran Newman wrote the following. She said, as virtues go, patience is a quiet one. It's often exhibited behind closed doors and not on a public stage. A father telling a third bedtime story to his son, a dancer waiting for her injury to heal. In public, it's the impatient ones who grab all our attention. The drivers honking in traffic, grumbling customers in slow-moving lines. We have epic movies extolling the virtues of courage and compassion, but a movie about patience might be a bit of a snoozer. Yet patience is essential to daily life and might be key to a happy one. Having patience means being able to wait calmly in the face of frustration or adversity. So anywhere there is frustration or adversity, nearly everywhere, we have the opportunity to practice it. At home with our kids, at work with our colleagues, at the grocery store with half our city's population, patience can make the difference between annoyance and equanimity, between worry and tranquility. Well, I want to just say in the name of authenticity and integrity that I am not the most patient person. I'm kind of like Inigo in The Princess Bride. I hate waiting. And I understand how difficult it can be. I am not preaching this morning as someone who has mastered patience, but I understand at times how difficult it can be to be patient, and I do know how being impatient can get us in trouble. One time I was driving to Orleans. I was going down Route 6A. I turned right on Eldridge Parkway, and as I started going down Eldridge, I noticed an Orleans police car was parked over on the right side of the road. And so as I do whenever I pass an officer of the law, I looked in my rearview mirror after I went by. And that's when I noticed there was a young woman driving a convertible behind me, and the police officer pulled out and started following us. So since the speed limit on Eldridge was 30 miles an hour, I made sure I was going exactly 30 miles an hour down Eldridge Parkway. And it's that speed limit, if you don't know the road, because there's an elementary school, there's a fire station, there's a police station when you get to the corner. So I'm going 30 miles an hour on the dot, and the young woman behind me is not pleased. And so she's riding up, like right on my bumper. She's riding a little bit to the left, like she wants to pass me, even though you can't pass people on Eldridge Parkway. And as I'm nearing the fire station there on the left, a fire truck comes out with its sirens wailing, the lights going, and everything else. So I obviously slowed down as soon as I saw the fire truck was going to pull out in case there was a second vehicle that might be following it. So as I slow down, the fire truck comes out and goes in front of me in the same direction, and I'm looking, and here comes an ambulance. So I pull over to the side and stop, and because it was this time of year, I put my hand out the window, you know, like telling the woman behind me to stop. Well, it obviously impatient with my driving, oblivious to the police car behind her, and not aware of the ambulance that was about to pull out on the road, the young woman swings around me, hits the gas, barely avoids hitting the ambulance as it pulled out, and I look in my rearview mirror, and I made eye contact with the police officer behind me, and I looked, and I made a face, and I went like this, and he threw on his lights, pulled around me, pulled her over right down the road in front of me, and you know, when you see that happen, you recognize impatience can be costly, and it can be more inconvenient than waiting. Now, in the Bible, the words patience, patient, and patiently are used to describe God's behavior as well as our own. And patience, like all the fruit of the Spirit, is a reflection of the character of God, and it's demonstrated in the life of Christ. Jesus was very patient with his often slow-to-understand disciples, often repeating his teaching, like we saw in the parable and then the explanation that Jenny read for it. He would often explain to them, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Now, I confess that I find it comforting and a reflection of the humanity of Christ, that even Jesus lost patience with people from time to time. For example, in Mark chapter 9, in verse 19, Jesus says to the disciples and everybody within earshot, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you?" And we're like, "Preach, Jesus." Yeah, that's right. Now, let me just say, recognizing the devious nature of the human heart and the sinful nature of humanity, and yes, that means you, that you are not allowed to use that verse I just quoted as an excuse every time you lose your patience to say, well, even Jesus lost his patience, so it's okay for me to do it. While Jesus got impatient with his disciples from time to time, it was certainly not the norm. It was the exception. Well, as we seek to develop patience in our own life, it helps to remember, first of all, how patient and gracious God has been and continues to be with us. This is where it begins. It begins with God's patience with us. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." That's his way of saying, I'm the worst sinner ever. "But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display" what? Say that next phrase. "The utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life." It took Paul a long time to understand that the way he was living his life was not pleasing to God. And that's really challenging every time I think of Paul, because Paul was so convinced he was right. He was so convinced that he was doing what God wanted him to do, and he was completely wrong. And yet God was incredibly patient toward him and didn't give up on him. And after that encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul finally understood how he was disappointing God, and Paul experienced and responded to God's love in Christ. And then Paul would go on to teach his churches the importance of being patient, especially with the weaker members of the faith community. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he wrote, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, to admonish the idlers," get them going, "encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak," say that last phrase with me, "be patient with all of them." God has been patient with us individually and with the entire human race. So we are to be patient with others. In the late first century, some Christians wondered if The Lord was not keeping his promise about returning because the years were marching on. But in 2 Peter, which is perhaps the last book written in the New Testament, we hear these words. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish. Say this phrase with me, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The Lord is patient with us, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And while we wait for that day, we are to regard this period of time as an example of the Lord's patience with all people. Well, what about developing our patience? Well, when referring to human behavior, patience in the Bible is used almost exclusively in reference to either dealing with other people or being patient and enduring suffering. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit we need when we find ourselves in stressful situations with other people, in physical trials, in persecution, or in less difficult moments over which we have no control, such as losing power, being stuck in traffic, or being at an airport when flights are canceled or delayed. Did anyone name that one in your conversation at the beginning? The Los Angeles Times published a story of a commercial airline flight that was canceled and resulted in a long line of travelers trying to get booked onto another flight. And one man in the line grew increasingly impatient with the slow-moving line. And suddenly he pushed his way to the front and angrily demanded a first-class ticket on the next available flight. "I'm sorry," the ticket agent said, "but I'll have to first take care of all the people who are ahead of you in line." And the man pounded his fist on the ticket counter saying, "Do you have any idea who I am?" And the ticket agent calmly took the microphone and said, "Attention, please, there's a gentleman at the ticket counter who doesn't know who he is. If there's anyone in the airport who can identify him, please come to the counter." And upon hearing this, the guy beat a retreat back to the end of the line while the people waiting in line burst into applause. Practicing patience helps us to control our temper, and that ability is a sign of spiritual maturity. In Proverbs 15:18 and 16:32, we hear two verses about this. Those who are hot-tempered stir up strife, but those who are slow to anger calm contention. One who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and one whose temper is controlled than one who captures a city. Because developing patience is difficult, we shouldn't be surprised how frequently the New Testament urges us to be patient with one another and to be patient in suffering, such as that theme verse today from Colossians 1:11 and 12 that I'm going to share with you again. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Paul connects patience with giving thanks for what we still have to be thankful for, even in the midst of suffering or difficult human relationships, especially the fact that through Christ, we have hope in this life and even in persecution, suffering, and death. In the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, several of them start with the risen Christ calling the church to patient endurance in the face of persecution. He writes, it says in chapter 2, "I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance. You are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance." Not only is the church to patiently endure, but in our relationships with one another, with our spouse, with our kids, with our coworkers, with other people, we're told as we began the service with in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, and listen to the different fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned just in these few in this verse. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. These are the sorts of behaviors that mark a genuine disciple of Christ. And of course, we know in those famous words from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. In the world in which we live, patience is not the virtue that it used to be. Our expectations have been raised and accelerated so rapidly by technology and by material comfort that it is hard for us to be patient. Yet Ecclesiastes 7:8 reminds us, the patient in spirit are better than the proud in spirit. Religions and philosophers have long praised the virtues of patience, and now researchers are starting to do so as well. Recent studies have found that good things really do come to those who can wait. Some of these science-backed benefits that are, and there's four, patient people enjoy better mental health. You can probably understand why. Patient people are better friends and neighbors. I mean, who wants to, you mean, do you want an impatient neighbor or do you want a patient neighbor? Patience also helps us to achieve our goals because we're able to delay gratification for a higher purpose or something that we really want to achieve. And finally, patience is just linked to good health, lower blood pressure, various other things. So what are three things we can do to cultivate patience? I'm going to give you three things very quickly. The first is reframing a situation. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. I'll give you all three first. Reframing a situation. The second is to pray rather than flying off the handle. Pray. And the third is to practice gratitude. Reframing a situation, praying, and practicing gratitude can really, really help us to develop patience. And it's actually interesting to me that science is confirming so much of what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, and also in Romans 12, verse 12, where he said, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. So what do I mean by reframing a situation? You're driving on Route 6, you're heading west, and all of a sudden a car comes bombing up behind you and wants to pass you. And you have two options, at least, into how you respond. You have this reptilian part of your brain that wants to tell you, I'm not going to let them get by me. I'm going to stop them, or I'm going to go faster. I'm not going to let them go by. This is not the higher spiritual part of yourself. Another part of yourself could just graciously get out of the way and say, boy, I hope they're not on the way to the emergency room at Cape Cod Hospital where a loved one is dying. You see how you look at that situation, how you frame that situation? It has a physical impact on your body. Reframing a situation, giving people the benefit of the doubt, and even if it's not true, it helps you deal with the situation. Reframing is really, really helpful in life. And praying for other people rather than snapping at them is also beneficial. And giving thanks, as Paul says in Colossians, giving thanks for what you can still give thanks for in the midst of the situation. So like you're in traffic, you're driving somewhere, and you get stuck behind a terrible accident. Well, you can get all angry and flustered and frustrated. Will it help? No. But you can reframe and pray and give thanks all in one fell swoop by telling yourself, I'm grateful I wasn't in that accident. God, help the people who were in that accident and the people who are helping them. I'm glad that we're okay and we're comfortable and safe in our car. You see, it's just that simple. Reframe, pray, give thanks. As we seek to develop patience, it helps to remember how patient and gracious God has been with us. And we don't want to take advantage of God's patience by becoming complacent or sluggish in our faith. We want to keep growing and working diligently so that we may be, in the words of Hebrews 6:12, I don't know if I gave you that one. We want to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Simply praying and asking God to give us patience right now isn't enough. There's always our part in growing in Christ-likeness. And I want to close with an anonymous prayer that touches on patience. So please join me as I pray. I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. He said it was not for him to take away, but for me to give up. I asked God to grant me patience, and God said no. He said that patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted, it's earned. I asked God to give me happiness, and God said no. He said he gives blessings. Happiness is up to me. I asked God to spare me pain, and God said, no. He said, suffering draws you apart from worldly care and brings you closer to him. I asked God to make my spirit grow, and he said, no. He said, I must grow on my own, but I will be in heaven someday, because I believe. I ask God to help me love others as much as he loves me. God said, ah, at last, you finally have the idea. Amen.